So we've just kind of skipped through the day of Pentecost and the days following that day. And we've read a lot about how God really kind of engaged with his people by his Holy Spirit. Powerful and profound. And the phrase that just captured my heart for this morning is this one-liner in verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." When the Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit comes. I feel expectant this morning that even now, just as I'm saying those words, the Holy Spirit is coming to your life, to your heart. And this day of Pentecost, it's all about the Holy Spirit descending on his people. And I remember Pete preaching about that several months ago now, but preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how God's Spirit descends, comes upon his people, and how that is very different to indwelling within his people. But God comes upon his people and touches our lives with power. So I'm going to just briefly, really briefly, talk about three things this morning that happen when the Holy Spirit comes. Three things that happen when the Holy Spirit comes, okay? The first thing, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. You will receive power. Now, the first thing to say really is that we know this verse from Ecclesiastes 3, but God has set eternity in the hearts of man. We know that verse, don't we? I'm going to read it to you from the NLT version. It says this: "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time." God has made everything beautiful for its own time. "He planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." It's interesting, isn't it? Because I believe that every one of us have a creative power planted within us. And so, and working so powerfully within us. And whether or not we believe in God, actually, we still have this creative power that's within us. And that's why there are some incredible people on the face of this planet doing some amazing things. And I just imagine some of the things that we as human beings have been able to achieve over the last few decades even. I was talking to Caleb in the car the other day, and he wanted to use my phone to call mum to remind her that, or to ask her what she was putting on for dinner, because he just wanted to know. And so we just got into a conversation about telephones, and I said, well, it wasn't that long ago, mate. We wouldn't have been able to do this. We'd have had to speak on a phone with a wire attached to another thing, and then that was attached to the wall, and you couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't speak to somebody on a phone in a car. And I was like, really? That's just weird. And I was saying, it wasn't actually that long ago when phones were invented, and you couldn't speak to anybody, let alone somebody on a phone without wires right across the other side of the world, because we do that. We speak on FaceTime to his cousins on the other side of the world in Australia, and it's just normal to them. But God has put this creative power in the hearts of men. We read about instances before the Holy Spirit was given in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We see that people did great things for God, don't we? And I believe that these things were actually inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But all of those things had much to do with faith. We read in Hebrews 11 about the great patriarchs, the heroes of the faith, and how they did great things for God and through God. And let's just read some of that in Hebrews 11. You see, it was by faith that Abraham and Moses and Noah all achieved great things. And then after reeling off a great list of the fathers of the faith, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. It goes all the way through to verse 40, and it talks about all the things that these great men and women of God did. And actually, I believe there's much to achieve through simple faith. Simple faith in God can do great things. But there is unimaginable things that can be achieved when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and works in and through you for God's glory. Absolutely unimaginable things. We've just read a whole bunch of stuff in about Old Testament things that happened that blows my mind. And I can't imagine what God has got in store for those who really take a hold of the purposes of God through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, didn't he? Anyone who believes in me will do the things that I've done, and even greater things. Even greater things. And when Jesus explains thereafter the coming of the Holy Spirit, he describes him as an advocate. And he says, you can ask anything. Ask me for anything. And by Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one who pleads, who asks on my behalf, will give you those things that you ask for. So he explains the role of the Holy Spirit there in John 14. And you see, that's the promise of God that those forefathers, the Abrahams and the Moseses and the Noahs, they never actually got to see and experience the reality of what it's like to live with the presence and the power of God as a constant in their lives. And when I think about that, I kind of feel guilty and ashamed, because I know that I have, as a New Testament era, as a church era, born again believer in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, I know that I have access to so much more in my life. Yet I don't kind of make full use of the power that is available to me as a follower of Jesus. And I know there's no condemnation. I know that. But it just tugs at my heart to know that these men who gave up so much, we read through right up to verse 40 in Hebrews 11, and they were chopped in half, they were burned at the stake, all of these things, out of sheer faith in Jesus. They never had the experience that we have had or can have when we get to know and are baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. But what do we have to do to receive that power? That's the question. Because if it was so readily available and so easily accessible, wouldn't we be living lives full of power right now? Wouldn't we be rocking up to church this morning and the walls would be kind of quaking with a sense of God's power and presence amongst us? That would be true, wouldn't it? But, you know, we're human, aren't we? We're just human. And that's the age-old story that goes through decades and centuries, thousands of years, as the people of God forget what it's like to live serving an almighty and powerful God. But I think one of the keys, and this is part of our, you know, some words that we've used to articulate what we want to be like as a church, and that's prayerfully open to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's in our vision document. That's what we want to be, prayerfully open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And what that actually looks like in our daily lives could get really quite exciting, couldn't it? If we lived prayerfully open to the Holy Spirit all the time. The Quakers, I don't know if you know this, but one of their kind of disciplines, I suppose you would call it, is that when they come together and they meet in a round circle. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the Quakers or been a part or seen or heard or anything that they do. And they meet around in a round circle. And one of their disciplines is they come together in prayer. And often I encourage you to hold out your hands, don't I, to receive what God has got for you. But the Quakers would begin by facing their hands down. And that would be a sign to God that I'm letting go of all that holds me back from receiving what you've got for me. I'm letting it go. And then they turn them up, and that's a sign of to God that they're receptive for all that he has got for them. Maybe just think about that for a few moments, and maybe just quieten your spirit and close your eyes and just imagine, or maybe you want to do that, just hold your hands out and downwards, pointing them down, and say, God, I'm just letting go of everything that hinders me from walking in the power and the fullness of God. And then turn them over. And God, I just receive everything that you've got for me. And I want to walk in the full power and knowledge of God by his Spirit. Powerful. Really, really powerful. I want to encourage you to just continue to think about that as you remain prayerfully open to the Holy Spirit in your walk with him. Secondly, when the Holy Spirit comes, unusual things happen. Unusual things happen. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? But as we read through Acts and through the Gospels, we just see some crazy things happening, don't we? And even on that first Pentecost Sunday, it might have been a Saturday or a Thursday night, I don't know when it was, that first Pentecost, some crazy things happened as we read through there, that the Spirit of God came upon them, and what appeared to be like tongues of fire rested above their heads, and then they all of them spoke in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And then the crazy thing is that the people watching, as they heard this rumbling noise, this sound of a rushing wind, people came by and they could hear the apostles, the disciples speaking in their own language. But it wasn't just one language they were speaking, it was languages from all over the earth. So an amazing miracle of God. But I really believe that unusual things happen when the Spirit of God comes. And I think it's a really, 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 really important thing for us to understand. Because if you're going to see incredible Holy Spirit happenings in your life and in the life of this church, then you've got to be ready for anything to happen. It talks about being expectant right at the start of this gathering together. And I think if you're going to see unusual things, the unusual things of God, I'm talking miracles, I'm talking supernatural, I'm just talking things that aren't just coincidence, but God's totally involved in your everyday life and you can see it and you recognize it. If you want those things to happen, then you've got to be ready for the unexpected. It's kind of what they call a paradox. It's kind of, you've got to be expecting the unexpected. We've got to be always open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that really is a question of faith. It really is. It's about trusting that God is in control. Because often we can question the things of God, can't we? Over the years, over the ages, there's been revivals and outpourings of God. And often what comes with those Holy Spirit outpourings and revivals is unusual things. Unusual things happen. If you look back through the history pages of Elim, you will see and read some really bizarre things that happened in Edom churches over the decades and years that have gone by. But God's in control, you know. God knows what he's doing. He's a holy God, and he's the Spirit of truth. And it's the Spirit of truth that he releases into our midst. But we can get quite skeptical, can't we? Can't we? We can. And I think we've got to guard against that. Because if we get over skeptical, we can actually begin to limit God. We can put a ceiling on what we think God wants to do in and amongst us as the people of God. And if we're not careful, that can really send us off track. We often come to meetings with our own agenda. I had a bit of an agenda this morning when I come. I'm preaching, you know, I've got to say this and say that. But it's always about being open to what God's doing and open to his Spirit and listening to his voice. As we read through the Gospels and especially the book of Acts, we see some amazing stories of unusual things happening. Let me just read a few things. People are healed of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, blind eyes opening, crippled legs are made strong, withered hands are growing, demons are expelled, people are raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit transports people from one country to another. Don't get that. Prison gates are miraculously opened. Handkerchiefs and shadows heal the sick. All sorts of unusual things happened 2,000 years ago. Question is, where are those unusual things now? I wonder. Now, in some places of the world, and even in some places of the UK, the unusual things of God. I like that phrase. The unusual things of God are happening on a regular basis and actually are quite normal. It's just that here in our own experience, we don't actually, I don't know why. I don't know what the formula is. Maybe there isn't a formula. Maybe it's just God's in control and he knows what he's doing. And one day soon, boosh, we're going to experience God in a whole way we've never experienced him before. God, let that happen. I'm just going to skip through a few things. Because if we're going to see things today as normal, then we've got to expect the unusual. And as I said a few months ago, quoting Mark Batterson, he said this: if we pray regularly, then irregular things will happen on a regular basis. You and you'll like that. If we pray regularly, then irregular things will happen on a regular basis. And I really think that maybe if there is a formula that we can adopt and foster, surely prayer has got to be somewhere in that formula. Surely. Because we know as we draw close to the heart of God, he kind of opens up his heart. And things from heaven just fall upon our lives and our situations. And we know that God answers prayer, don't we? We know that he loves to hear his children pleading him and saying, God, please come. Hear my heart. Hear my desperation, God. We need to see you. We want to see you moving in our lives, in our churches, in our world. And Lord, just help us to pray. Help us to pray more. Help us to pray regularly. And you know, I just want to suggest a couple of things. Yes, that we pray regular together, because that's, we're encouraged, aren't we, when we pray together. Sometimes I just feel like I'm a different person when I walk out of a prayer meeting, because I've been lifted and encouraged by just being in the presence of God with others around me. But I think more importantly, which I'd love us to grab a hold of, and encourage you and challenge you to pray more apart than we do together. I think it's really key, because God's sending us out. There's a few verses in the New Testament that talk about, isn't that? Like Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew and Mark, and actually we've read it in Luke, in Acts there, what Luke said. God's sending us out into the harvest field. And that's the place where God wants to do unusual things, I believe. kind of wait for it to all happen in here, but God's like, just get out there and do it and just see miracles and just pray for the sick and pray for people to be healed and restored and look for the demons and cast them out and all of those things. God wants us to do all of that out there. It just sometimes just seems a million miles away from our experience, doesn't it? The third thing, when the Holy Spirit comes, people get saved. People get saved. Just love these verses at the end of this portion where it talks about where Peter's just preached a message that is cut to the heart. Don't we wish, those of us who communicate and preach and teach, we wish we could preach a few of those heart-cutting messages every now and then. But Peter preaches, and those that accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Not that year or even that decade. That would be great. But that day, 3,000 people got saved. Now, that's a terminology that we Christians use. It's actually from the Bible. We've just read it in Acts somewhere. People get saved. They get saved. But it just means that Jesus finds a heart and he pours out his love upon them, and he rescues them from a life of death and destruction and grants them the gift of the free gift of eternal life and says, have it. Have it all. This is me and you've got me. And he saves them. He gets them. He rescues them. And that's just what the Holy Spirit does. It's not our job to save people, is it? It's the Holy Spirit's job. Because he's a good God and he wants to save people. He wants to rescue people from sin and from death. Proverbs 11:30 says this. I'm almost done. I like this verse. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We talked about trees last week, didn't we? And he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. And I believe that they are wise because they have chosen the right thing to prize. That's snappy, isn't it? They are wise because they've chosen the right thing to prize. There are many things, aren't there, for us to enjoy in life, many things for us to pursue in life, many things to achieve in this life, but none perhaps are more important, as they used to say, than winning souls. It's a great task that we've been given by Jesus, to win souls. Mentioned it earlier, but in Matthew, Jesus' last words in Matthew, as Matthew writes, are, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And Mark writes similar. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and baptized is saved. And here in Acts we've read, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The purpose for the power in your life is so that you can be an effective soul winner for Jesus. And you might think, I'm not an evangelist. I'm just rubbish at talking to people about faith and Christianity and Jesus. I can't do it very well. I'm not great at sharing my faith. God knows that. He knows that. But actually, within you, there is everything that you need, everything that you need to be an effective witness for Jesus. And when you realize that, you'll take steps of faith. You'll step out into the unknown. You'll step out into the, this is really scary. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Shall I ask them if they want me to pray with them or not? Or shall I suggest that they read this Bible verse or not? That's all scary. But as you do that, as you take that step out into faith, into the unknown, then the Holy Spirit, I promise you, because God promises you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and rest upon you and give you the power to do what he's asked you to do, to be a witness. I can guarantee it without a shadow of a doubt. Even if you feel like you've fallen flat on your face and you've said the most stupid thing, God will use it. I can guarantee you. He doesn't want to show you up. And he doesn't care if you show him up. He just wants you to be obedient to him and step out in faith. Now, I just want to encourage as I come to a close, but we've got a little bit of time because I really believe that God wants to impart something into your spirit this morning. It's almost like he wants to just deposit something in your heart, fresh, like fresh manna from God today. And it's to do with his empowering spirit in your life. Now, this is the question. As the Bible talks about, Jesus says, you know, John the Baptist baptized with water, but I come and I'll baptize you with fire. And that fire is the Holy Spirit. And he wants to give you fire this morning. He wants to baptize you